Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. Field of Matthew and Stefania and Daniel all here to recap all but one game from Week 12. But I want to make an announcement. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think what you just said is important. I think most people probably sort of skip through it, at least mentally. They hear you, but they're blah, 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 blah. Yeah. YouTube, Facebook, whatever.
Right.
Snapchat, whatever.
Very relevant.
Snapface, whatever. Yeah. MySpace, wherever. Whatever.
Like Belichick
blah, blah,
right
blah, 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 blah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Snapface, right? It's the whole Belichick quote. Right. But in fact, knowing where to find the Fantasy Focus, i.e., ESPN's YouTube page, ESPN Fantasy's Facebook page.
Right.
The ESPN app.
One app, one tap.
One app, one tap.
Twitter.
Yes, the Twitter. It's important to know those places. Why?
Because Week 13's edition, Fantasy Football Now, will be available on those platforms, and those platforms only. We've got a couple of complications. Not only do we have NFL Countdown this week, we have the College Football Playoff Selection Show on Sunday morning. As you guys all know, College Football Saturday is Championship Saturday. Top four teams will be announced on Sunday. They'll be breaking that all down. And we have F1 as well. So three other events.
So ESPN said, all right, so we got F1. We got Formula One racing. We got Sunday NFL Countdown. We got the College Football Playoffs. But where can we put Fantasy Football Now, our flagship show of those four, to get the most viewers? And so we're going to be, even if you don't have cable, you can find us as long as you got the internet, right? Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. If a new social media network gets invented between now and Sunday, we'll likely be on that as well.
Right. And I am currently working on one. A little teaser.
Exactly. See if we can get the...
It's in beta right now.
Yeah, well, see if I can get the Fantasy Life app to stream it.
I've always wanted to say that, by the way. It's in beta.
Yeah. It's in beta. We're doing testing. But anyway, Fantasy Football Now, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, this Sunday only, available on your streaming platforms. We will not be on your television, so please tune in. Watch us do our thing.
But be rest assured, this is a 1 week and a 1 week only arrangement. We are back to our normal home the following Sunday, which will be December 12th. And every Sunday from there on out, we know how much you guys love us on ESPN 2. And frankly, we love our home on ESPN 2 as well. We have an exceedingly loyal audience. A 1 week arrangement only. We'll mention this probably 40 times between now and Friday's show. So,
Listen, this is all the promotion we're getting. Right. I'm just being honest with you. ESPN's got to promote. They got to promote the Monday night game, and the Manning cast is coming back in week 13. Right, that'll get promotion. Right. We got, Man in the Arena. Yeah. We got the F1, and obviously College Football Playoffs are a huge deal, obviously, here at the company. So, to be honest with you, the only promotion we're getting is right here on our show. So, we're letting you know, giving you a heads up. We'll be talking about it all week long. And so, when you're watching the College Football Playoff show, and you're looking at two-loss Alabama, managing to get in
over undefeated Cincinnati.
And you're like infuriated, as well you should be, then you can tune over. You can find us on YouTube because that's what's happening, right?
Okay.
They're going to get blown out by Georgia and then they're still going to get in.
Man, they'll find
Even though they went to four overtimes against an unranked Auburn team, even though they lost to an unranked Texas A&M team, Alabama's still getting in because why? Because they're Alabama.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Brand equity certainly helps in college football.
Cincinnati, you guys are getting jobs. I'm just letting you right now. I feel so bad for the Bearcats.
I'm with you there.
But they're going to get jobs.
Building something special there in Cincinnati. Let's get to the footballs. We have a lot to get to from yesterday, and we'll try to touch on tonight's game featuring Matthew's Washington football team and Seattle Seahawks, a game that has, and don't laugh, legitimate playoff implications in the NFC, despite the fact that those teams have combined for 7 wins so far this year.
Dallas lost. By the way, this is a potential NFC East. This is important to the NFC East. Dallas lost and the Eagles lost this week.
Trust me, I'm with you. Washington
has played one division game this year.
I'm just saying. You laugh at me, but I'm telling you, there's legit NFC playoff implications there. But we have a ton to get to. Let's get to the injuries. And Stefania, unfortunately for the Vikings, they're going to be potentially without their star running back, Dalvin Cook, who left yesterday's game against your 49ers in a ton of pain. He was teary as he was carted off. It was obvious something was wrong. What do we know?
It just happened so fast, and it was clear that it was a problem right away. It was like he took these hits, he got twisted, he went down, and reached for his side. And I think there was a lot of speculation about whether it was his ribs or his pec. And all we know for a fact is that he is getting an MRI this morning on his shoulder. Dalvin Cook has had a history of shoulder injuries in the past, has caused him to miss time before. So let's just wait until we hear what the official results are, and we shall see. But I would just be making plans. If you have Alexander Mattison, may be a scenario where he is going to have to pick up the slack.
We'll talk about Alexander Mattison throughout tomorrow's show, Waiver Wires, but there's no more valuable waiver ad this week than Alexander Mattison, who has been simply awesome in weeks 3 and weeks 5. He had over 21 fantasy points, 25 plus opportunities in each of those games, filling in for Dalvin Cook, a ton of value there.
He shouldn't be available.
He shouldn't be.
We talk about this all the time. This is why, especially as you get into the playoff stretch, why you roster insurance backs.
Correct.
Dalvin Cook is rostered in 100% of leagues, so Alexander Mattison should have been rostered in 100% of leagues. I don't know why he is still available because, again, we know that he is a one-for-one replacement. We know he is very good, and we know, candidly, Dalvin Cook is injury-prone. It's awful to see. We're not rooting for it, but the fact of the matter is that every year of Dalvin Cook's NFL career, he has gotten banged up. They play the Lions on Sunday, and if Dalvin Cook misses this game, Alexander Mattison would be locked into my top 10.
Stefania, Christian McCaffrey got hurt yesterday. It happened late in the first half, so there was never an official injury announcement. As a matter of fact, the Panthers never said anything about this injury during the game. He just wasn't on the field very much.
Yeah, well, I spoke with David Newton, who covers the team for us, and Matt Rhule basically said that he was going to get further workup on Monday, but it sounds like he did not believe it was serious. It sounded like they feel it wasn't serious. He did get back on the field in the second half for a play, which makes you think that it couldn't have been that serious, or they wouldn't have allowed him to go back out there. Walking boots can be a proactive measure, as you recall, just for them to take the weight off it. They have a bye this week. But if truly it ends up being a non-serious injury, there's a possibility that he's back in 2 weeks for Atlanta.
Could be also they were getting blown out yesterday, so they're going to be extra cautious with Christian McCaffrey. Chuba Hubbard will be the next man up in that backfield, as we know. Wasn't that great the first time around. I mean, unfortunately, he was fine, right? Like, he was like a high-end flex play, Matthew, but not Mike Davis 2.0.
No, and by the way, take a closer look. So it really depends on your situation, right? And just how desperate are you? And look ahead, especially this is important. Like, so it's going to be week 13. He's not back. I'm sorry, week 14, which is the last week before the playoffs start in most leagues. So it's just like, how important is it for you to win that week? And how important is it for you to have a guy there? Because look at their upcoming schedule. Let's pretend McCaffrey's out for the year and he's not.
No. Let's pretend he's back in week 14, which is much more likely.
Right. I understand. But I'm just saying, so here's their upcoming schedule. They have a bye this week. You can't use Hubbard this week. They have Atlanta at home in week 14. Okay, that's a good matchup. Then they're at Buffalo, Tampa Bay, at the Saints, at Tampa Bay again. All really great run defenses. You wouldn't want Chuba Hubbard against any of those teams. You don't want him against the Bills or the Bucks twice or the Saints.
Yeah.
So it's really, there's really 1 week of usefulness, potential usefulness for Chuba Hubbard, and that is in week 14. So again, look forward, and there's still an opportunity, obviously, that Christian McCaffrey could be back for that. We just don't know the severity of that injury. So just as you're going through waivers, to me, Chuba Hubbard is a much lower priority than either the Tennessee guys, Mattison, obviously, Tony Pollard, if he's somehow
Jamal
still available
Williams,
in your league, Jamal
those.
Williams, all those guys. And speaking of Jamal Williams, that's a situation from Thanksgiving as well, Daniel Topp.
Yes, it is, Stefania. I saw my friend DeAndre Swift leave the field, and how worried do I need to be about this?
Listen, I really fell for you on Thanksgiving. Oh, I thought that was going to be your day.
I did
then
too.
DeAndre Swift left the game, and I was like, well, I didn't feel so good about that that game for anyone who had was rooting for the Lions. Well, he left in the second quarter. Dan Campbell, after the game, called it a shoulder sprain, which is really a generic term. It's not very helpful when it comes to the shoulder. All we know is that he was ruled out at halftime and that they were going to get further work done on it. You know, this is one of those things where until they're back in the building, until you start seeing practice reports, you're probably not going to get a hint of much of anything else.
Practice reports will begin on Wednesday for the Lions, who play the Vikings, as Matthew just mentioned. Jamal Williams available in about 55% of leagues. Good guy to go grab off your waiver wire if he is still available. He had 15 carries on Thursday, filling in for DeAndre Swift. One more injury, actually a couple more, Stefania, but a couple more from Thursday. Darren Waller left this game early for the Las Vegas Raiders. What a great win that was for them, going down to Dallas. So impressive for them to find a way to win that one. refs were busy on this game during this game as well. But Darren Waller was not busy as he left the game early. Stefania did not look particularly pleasant for him.
Yeah, it didn't at the time, but it was weird. If you saw it on the sideline, I would see him walking up and down. He tried running. He was actually working out on the bike. Looked like he was trying to work something out. There have been several reports that after undergoing an MRI, came back as a strained IT band. I will give you guys a point if you can tell me where your IT band is.
I believe.
Can I show you?
Yeah. I'm afraid.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid too. I believe the IT band is on the outside portion of your knee, right?
Ding, 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 ding. Well, so it actually runs from the top of your hip. It actually runs from like up at the pelvis at the side.
Yeah, your pelvis,
all
right?
The way down the side.
Runners get this issue all the time, right?
Yes. Well, yeah. Look at Field.
I've been studying Stefania's encyclopedia.
You have. Yeah. So, but it's.
You lost me. It's strained.
The thing is.
You lost your 11 a.m.
I mean, let's be fair.
It really, you know, runners, cross-country skiers, people who do a lot of repetitive motion, it's kind of a strange thing to hear about. It's, you know, for an NFL player. So we shall see. But they obviously saw, if he comes back from an MRI and they're calling it a strain, means they saw swelling around the area, something that made them think there's some inflammation going on there. This is one of those things where I wouldn't expect this to cost him missed time a lot, if any. You know, he potentially could be back as soon as their next game, but you just don't want to see it become a chronic problem. This is one of those things where it can be nagging at you for a while.
Big game ahead for the Raiders this upcoming week. They need every win they can get right now. They're still in the AFC playoff picture. It's just a very, very busy AFC playoff picture.
And they play my red-hot Washington football team.
They do.
Until
tonight, we'll find out. Yeah.
I want to say red hot because by tonight they may not be red
hot
anymore.
Yeah,
very good point. Yeah,
they won two games. They won two games. Stefania Bell,
Stefania.
You know, the 49ers get like one win, and all of a sudden she's just like,
the 49ers. Don't compare the 49ers to Washington football team because that's really apples and oranges. We'll be in the playoffs. I'll talk to you then.
Why can't fruit be compared?
Moving forward here.
We'll see.
Iliotibial is what I was told the IT and IT band stands for.
You want to know why it's called iliotibial? Because this is the ilium at the top of the pelvis.
And it
attaches at the tibia.
Yeah, yeah. That's so crazy how that stuff works. All right, one more here, Stefania.
She's so brainy.
I know, she really is.
This is I get all excited because like we get to talk about stuff I like.
I'm going
to
get Matthew.
Nerding out. When Stefania nerds out, it is adorable. I have to tell you. I love it. I love how excited you get. Look at that grin. Look at that grin on Stefania.
If I gave Matthew 15 tries to spell iliotibial, how many would it take?
You give me 150.
Right, okay.
You give me 150.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, moving forward, the Saints running backs.
I think it starts with an I.
Yeah, you got that. You're one
so
for
far.
One.
All right, there you go.
The Saints running backs, I use that literally. So Stefania, the Saints running backs have been all sorts of banged up. First it was Alvin Kamara, then it's Mark Ingram. Right? Both were unavailable on Thursday. Yeah.
But here's the good news. The Saints practiced on Sunday. It might have flown under the radar because everybody was watching football. But the Saints actually treated Sunday like a Wednesday because they play on Thursday again this week. So Sunday was their Wednesday, and they had open portion for the media. And actually, Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara were both out there participating in every element of the practice that was open. That was something that they had not seen Alvin Kamara do since he's had the knee injury. So even though it's early, this is a very encouraging sign early in the week for both those players. Obviously, the first practice reports will come out after today. Today will be like their Thursday. Tomorrow will be like their Friday. Wednesday will be their Saturday, and then Thursday they'll play. So we should have a pretty good idea by Tuesday's practice of who's going to be available.
The NFL, of course, adopted this scheduling principle in recent years. Two teams that play on Thanksgiving play the following Thursday as well. Dallas and New Orleans playing. We'll have more updates on those practice reports as soon as tomorrow.
And by the way, that's going to be a real interesting one because news came out over the weekend that there's chances that Dallas may want to rest Ezekiel Elliott as well. So
yeah, that's right.
So we will see. Like, there's a chance it's the Tony Pollard, Mark Ingram show on Thursday night,
right.
Or we see Zeke and Kamara or some combination thereof. So obviously the running back storylines for that game be something we'll monitor throughout the week.
By the way, no real fantasy impact here, but Mike McCarthy, the Cowboys head coach, is out for that game as he has tested positive for COVID-19. Right. He'll be unavailable for the Cowboys.
We'll update that tomorrow because there's a lot going on with the Cowboys. So stay
there
tuned.
Certainly is. All right, we're going to, where are we at time? Okay, well, let's get through a couple of these players and just sort of like, hey, it's crunch time. You need your stars to be stars and they haven't been recently. So what do I do now? Let's begin in Indianapolis, where Tom Brady and the Bucs get a huge win yesterday, and yet Tom Brady was sort of just average. He finished with 11.2 fantasy points. Actually, that's really below average. He had one touchdown. He had one interception. He had two rushing yards. That was cool. But he really just ceded all the opportunity to Leonard Fournette, who scored four touchdowns, Matthew. And Tom Brady has not finished any of the 3 weeks following his bye in week 9 better than quarterback 10. He's been borderline, he's been barely startable over these past 3 weeks. He has under 230 passing yards in 3 of his past 5 games.
Wow.
If I were to ask you, are you concerned about Tom Brady as you look forward? Are you or no?
Not really.
Nor am I.
Because there's a couple reasons why, huh?
Especially not this week.
Yeah, they play Atlanta this week.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, by the way, he's Tom Brady, right? Yeah. There's a little bit of that. There's also a little bit, like, a little unlucky, right? I mean, like, they scored fine. Yeah. I mean, the Buccaneers put up points. It's just when they got in close, Fournette was the one who ended up converting them. Really nice game here. Washington played them tough. They played the Giants, you know, 2 weeks in week 11. They didn't really need, you know, him to go nuts here. The volume's been fine, right? I mean, so Brady has at least 34 pass attempts in all 11 of his games. Him and Justin Herbert, the only two quarterbacks to do that. So the volume has been there for Tom Brady. We all think he can still play at an extremely high level.
Of course.
The concern with Brady, of course, is he doesn't run. So that's what happens on games like this when there's a big Fournette game or the defense does something. But I'm not ready to judge Tom Brady until if my expectation is he gets Antonio Brown this week. He gets AB back. And so if he can't do it with AB back and against Atlanta, then we can panic. But I'll still have Tom Brady inside my top 5 when my rankings come out this week.
Agreed on that. Najee Harris yesterday had kind of a game for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who really as a team were just awful. But 6.7 fantasy points for Najee Harris yesterday. Matthew had 3 catches, 37 total yards for Najee Harris. You concerned here because he's got back-to-back games that are kind of clunkers?
Yes and no. Like, okay. So here's what I would say. I'm concerned in this sense, right? Like, it's not great, right? I mean, like, this offense is not going well. What I'm mostly concerned about is the lack of passing game involvement in this one, right? But he's still, I don't know that there's anything he can do about it. You're not trading him. You're still starting him. He's still getting a ton of touches. Like, look, Cincinnati just, you know, what was the boat raced him? Cincinnati just boat raced him. Just a bad day at the office for the entire Steelers offense. Najee Harris didn't have a great game against the Chargers as well, though he still had double digit fantasy points. Like
Najee, not yesterday.
Not yesterday.
No. I'm saying right against the Chargers.
Okay, so Chargers.
Week 11. Yeah. I'm looking back at what he's done so far. I think he's been disappointing from what you expected early in the season, but he's still very, very usable. And in terms of an actionable item, to me, I would be much more inclined to try to trade for him than to try to trade him away.
Daniel?
So he had 20-plus fantasy points in 5 straight games and hasn't hit 20 points in any of the last 4. Matthew, to your point, though, this last game was the only one that was a single-digit fantasy point. He's still getting, you know, easily,
prior to this week,
RB2 numbers.
16.9, 17.3, 16.8.
That's RB1 numbers right there.
Yeah,
still.
21.
But there's an expectation based on how much value he's getting.
Exactly. So you would like to see a little bit more passing game involvement. You would like to see you'd like to see the offense just be better as
efficiency.
A whole.
His yards per carry is pretty awful.
I mean, but whatever. He's still getting the volume, and I just, again, I would be much more prone to try to trade for him than to try to trade away him.
Agreed.
Like, because he is getting that kind of volume, and that kind of volume is just very hard to find at this point in the season. Worth noting, they do play Baltimore next week. That's not a great matchup. And then they're at Minnesota, and assuming the Vikings get healthier. So a couple of, and then Tennessee. So the next 3 matchups are not great, but again, he's still going to get a ton of volume. He's still going to be ranked inside my top 12. But I think if I were ranking today for the rest of the season field, as opposed to like sort of the top 5 guy that he was in the earlier part of the season, he's more in the 8 to 12 range among running backs, but still an RB1.
Yeah, maybe. He might still be in my top 6 or 7, to be honest with you. There are so few running backs that you can trust right now in fantasy. Maybe he's whatever. The bottom line is you're playing him. You're starting him every single week. The volume is still so good, and I think the Steelers will have some gut check moments coming up here because their season is getting very close to going sideways. And as we know, they never, ever go under 500 with Mike Tomlin as their head coach for over the course of a full season.
Daniel. Do you remember when they started out like 9-0 last year.
Oh my God. Softest schedule though ever, right? Steelers fans were very defensive of that start, right? Yes. It was like, hey, all the indicators of this team is not nearly as good as 9-0 suggests, and Steelers fans were kind of, don't you dare say that about our Steelers. And then they finished with like, what, 4-5 straight?
Yeah. And by the way, Pittsburgh, welcome to Washington, where Washington's been the last couple of years, which is actually, I suppose last year, and I think where they'll be this year, which is that they're going to be good enough that they're not going to get a draft pick high enough to get a quality franchise quarterback, but they clearly need one.
Yeah,
they don't have a plan beyond Ben Roethlisberger.
It's a weird
and
time.
I don't know if this is Ben's last year. It should be Ben's last year.
It's a weird conversation again. We'll throw it over to our friends on NFL Live for more insight on that kind of matter. But before we come back and talk about Miles Sanders, a couple of quick words, starting with our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know it's easy. Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Supercuts. Hair. It has a way of growing back faster than we want it to, and somehow it can feel like we need more haircuts than we have time for. But luckily, Supercuts is here to make grabbing a haircut easy. Supercuts is here for you if you're someone who needs a haircut but doesn't think they have time for a haircut. No more scouring the web for salons and with availability. You can just use the Supercuts app to find the location nearest you and check in, or you can just walk in. Another bonus, the salon shows estimated wait times so you know exactly what you're in for. As for the cut itself, it's always super solid thanks to Supercuts' highly trained stylists. Get in and get out and get to that thing you needed a haircut for. Whether you've got a first date or a vacation coming up, or you just want to look good, Supercuts makes getting a haircut effortless. It's not just any haircut, it's Supercuts. Check in now on the Supercuts app or on supercuts.com.
So there's some good indicators from Miles Sanders and some not such good indicators from Miles Sanders. Over his past two games, he has 168 rushing yards. That's nearly 85 per game. That's good. By the way, he's got 25 carries. That's 12.5 per game. That's also good. Problem is, this year,
Hold on.
Wait, you disagree with that?
I disagree. 12.5 carries a game is good.
I mean,
a guy that you drafted to be like a starting running back.
Well, you mean you, as in like you, common you, not like
me.
I've
hated the guy for 2 years.
Wow, that's impersonal.
Fantasy value. You know what I guys mean. He's been on the hate list for two straight years.
Why do you hate Miles Sanders?
I have nothing against the man personally. It is always about value.
#I think
Miles Sanders is vastly overrated by the fantasy community and fantasy fans, and has been since he's been drafted out of Penn State. And the whole like he was better than Saquon, like. Anyway, but that was the narrative about him.
No, trust me. I know. How's that one working?
Exactly. Yes, the collective you, the people that drafted Miles Sanders, I haven't had him on a team in 2 years. Mm-hmm. The people that have drafted Miles Sanders did not draft him thinking he was only getting 12.5 carries a game.
Right. But here's what I would say.
Okay.
Is it's good when you juxtapose it to these stats that over his past three games, he has two catches for -3 yards.
Oh, yeah.
And he has as many touchdowns this year as you do, Matthew Berry. So 12.5 sounds better compared to those 0 touchdowns and 108 touches this season. So I think probably, Matthew, the reality is that he could squeak out a couple of good games at some point based off their schedule for the rest of the season.
Right? They play the Jets on Sunday.
Yeah, like this could be a game where he had 17.5 fantasy points or something like that, and we could be singing a different tune slightly. I just think that, like, generally speaking, you and I have been out of the business of Miles Sanders, and I think that thought has been validated throughout the course of the year. Boston Scott looked good again yesterday. Jordan Howard did not play. Sounds like he'll play potentially this week. And if he does, he's going to be their hammerhead at the goal line. Miles Sanders, a tough player to properly evaluate in the context of fantasy football.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe Sanders had another fumble yesterday in that game. I believe that is correct. I know Boston Scott did. And I think if it hadn't been for that Boston Scott fumble, we might be talking about Boston Scott taking over this job.
Sure.
Because he was running well. Sirianni mentioned it in the postgame presser, just basically that Boston Scott was running well, and then he had the fumble. But sure. I believe Sanders had... I know fumbling has been an issue for Sanders throughout. I know he had two last week, one of which he lost. I believe he had another one this week against the Giants.
That could be correct. I don't know off the top of my head. One more thing I'll say, though, is that
Dang,
if you look at Miles Sanders...
I think if he had a fumble, I don't think he lost it.
Okay.
Put the ball on the ground, but it was not...
Thirsty Kyle says no fumble on Sunday. Okay, okay. so I got that one wrong. I know, but I know that
again. There's a first time for everything.
Yeah. Maybe I'm confusing it with the Boston Scott one.
Anyways, last thing I'll say though.
I don't know. He's been ineffective.
He has been ineffective.
Yes. He's been ineffective.
By the way, Miles Sanders at the end of the game, like the Eagles are playing from behind. They need a touchdown. Who's the running back on the field? Kenneth Gainwell, who had zero touches up to the last drive when they're in gotta have it situation. He had like 32 yards in that final drive for Philadelphia, which came up short, obviously, much of the chagrin of Eagles fans. And certainly Devontae Smith, who I think slammed his helmet in disgust on a play in which he was seemingly wide open.
Why?
Yeah, look, they've gone run heavy, but which in theory you think, oh, that's good. But the problem is they've gone run heavy, but that run heavy includes Jalen Hurts. And it also includes they want to use multiple running backs, right? I mean, and this is one of the reasons why, if you go back and look at my 100 facts column from the preseason, one of the facts that I sort of laid out, and the 100 facts is just a clever way of doing sleepers and busts.
Yep.
And I just basically lay out facts in a row to try to lead you to a conclusion. And I was trying to lead you to a negative conclusion about Miles Sanders. And one of the things I talked about was the fact that how, when Nick Sirianni was in Indianapolis, they used multiple running backs all the time. And that, you know, he seems like he comes from a running back by committee school of thought, even though he wasn't calling the plays in Indy. The fact is that what it was looking that way. And then you add in the fumbles, and then you add the fact that because they're going so run heavy, there's not a lot of passing game usage here for Miles Sanders. That's one of the pro Miles Sanders arguments, is like, well, he's such a good pass catcher, but they don't use him that way. They don't use any of their running backs really that way. And to your point, Field, it seems like when they do need to go pass heavy, they prefer Kenneth Gainwell in that role.
By the way, last thing I'll say on this, I'm not sure that like a coach has a preference to be a running back by committee or not. Like, I think every single coach in football at any level is running back by committee. Unless you have Derrick Henry or Jonathan Taylor. Like last night, the Browns, who have Nick Chubb, one of the best pure runners in the NFL, he had like 4 yards last night. I mean, that's a slight exaggeration in the wrong kind of way. He barely played last night. Yeah. It's like Kareem Hunt at the end of the game. Who was on the field for the last drive?
Dearness Johnson.
I get it that he's a better pass catcher than Nick Chubb, or more natural maybe perhaps. But I'm like, dude, if you can't get Nick Chubb involved in a game that was not a blowout, right? Yep. I'm like, good Lord. Anyways, I digress. One more here, Matthew.
They had issues on their offensive line and Conklin gets banged up. They may have felt that Hunt's running style was better suited for what they had out there.
Hold on. If your running style doesn't fit Nick Chubb, then the problem ain't Nick Chubb, right? Like, you got to switch your running style.
We're going to talk about Kareem Hunt a little bit later in the show.
Let's move forward here to the Broncos wide receivers yesterday.
If you've been hanging on, just to wrap up the Miles Sanders conversation, if you've been hanging on to him for all this long, you have to hang on to him for at least one more week because they have the Jets on Sunday. Right. If ever there was a game to start Miles Sanders, it's going to be this Sunday against the Jets.
So the Broncos wide receivers are very talented, right? They're all really good. Jerry Jeudy is a first-round pick, slot, dominating, route-running, awesome player. Tim Patrick's got rewarded with a big-time contract, 3 years. I think it was $34 million for him, a little over $11 million per year. Cortland Sutton, same deal, 4 years, $61 million extension, $15.2 million per season for him, Matthew. And yet for fantasy right now, you don't want any part of any of these guys. Yesterday, Cortland Sutton, 2 catches for 17 yards, good for 3.7 fantasy points. Jerry Jeudy, 2 catches for 25 yards. How about this? Cortland Sutton has played 5 games with Jerry Jeudy this season. His season high alongside Jerry Jeudy for fantasy points is 6. Yeah. 6 fantasy points. Like, Devontae Adams gets 6 fantasy points on like the first drive for the Packers most games. Like, holy cow, what has happened here?
Yeah, I mean,
like,
Cortland Sutton made the hate list this week. We talked about you. Him on
Make it for the rest of the season.
Now,
you just plug him in. Listen, I'll write the column for you.
I appreciate that. He's not going to make the hate list because he should be dumped. He shouldn't be rostered.
Wow.
In standard 10-team league, isn't he welcome to Dumpsville?
I think it's certainly a conversation.
At this point in the season, we are finishing up week 13.
Mm-hmm.
We have a 5-game sample of Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton playing on the same time.
Yeah.
And he averages under 6 fantasy points a game. The only pro Cortland Sutton argument you can make is that if this Teddy Bridgewater injury is serious enough that Drew Locke, but
follow-up testing or something.
Yeah, if follow-up testing or they decide to make a change, I don't think they will. But like, I do think that Cortland Sutton's fantasy prospects would be a little bit better if Drew Locke were under center.
Mm-mm.
Just because Drew Locke is a little bit more YOLO, a little bit more chuck it down the field. He's not as good a quarterback as Teddy Bridgewater.
Not close. Mm-mm.
What are you arguing on with me on?
I just like... The Drew Locke experience.
Oh, and listen, I'm not arguing for Drew Locke as a quarterback. Yeah. I'm with you there. I'm totally with you there, brother. I am saying that I think specific to Courtland Sutton, because Drew Lock is more of a YOLO quarterback, I think there might, and more a bigger arm and willing to throw it downfield a little bit more, that maybe there's more of a chance for Courtland Sutton.
Can't get much worse than what it's been.
Exactly. Yeah. But failing that, I would say that if you were going to waivers and you're looking for somebody, I have no problem in a standard 10-team league or even probably a 12-team league dropping Courtland Sutton. I'm in Scott Fishbowl. I have Sutton in Fishbowl, and like, I can't start him. And that's a league that, like, there's like no one. Yeah. I mean, you know, like, it's a super crazy deep league, and you start, like, you know, you can start up to like six wide receivers in that league.
Right.
And like,
it's crazy.
It doesn't make my top six.
Last 5 weeks, Matthew.
Yes, sir.
Five targets, four targets, two targets, three targets, three targets.
Well, here's the bottom line.
His prop was 3.5. I took the under and won. I felt like that was as easy a bet as there was.
The only thing I can say, and this is not going to help you for the rest of this year, is the Broncos are simply, they have zero choice. They are all in. They are pot committed this offseason. They have to go big game hunting for a quarterback, because you can't pay and invest a first round pick and then whatever it was, $95 million to two other wide receivers and play this style of offense again next year. It is simply a misallocation of resources, if that's how, or close to it, I should say.
Question for you. Yeah. One quick question for you.
Aaron Rodgers.
I was going to say, if you're in a dynasty league, is Courtland Sutton worth trying to get as a low ball offer this year with the idea that, hey, maybe number 12 is in Denver next year?
I mean, maybe I'm wrong. And misallocation of resources is probably too strong, because you sign these guys for the long term. It's not just about what they do in 2022. But if you are Denver, I just can't imagine that this is how you want to play offense. Like, you have so many, you've Noah Fant as well, all Albert Aquabanam. Like, maybe. My answer is yes. Like, I have him in a dynasty league and could have used more this past weekend, but I'm sitting there like, all right, I can't be too disappointed, because next year, if he's catching passes from any of the big name quarterbacks that could be available this offseason, I'll feel better about the prospects going forward.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, I still think, again, Courtland Sutton got paid. I agree with you. They have to, whatever the quarterback situation is now, it likely, hopefully, improves next year.
Let's talk about some backfields, and we'll ask whether we got some clarity. And we'll start in Denver, where yesterday the Broncos had, of course, Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon in the mix. Tavanya, Melvin Gordon left this game early, his very first touch with a hip injury, and seemingly is okay.
Yeah. I mean, because look what he did when he came back. You know, and he ended up leading the running backs in terms of his carries yesterday. I actually was driving at the time that he left and heard that he was out with a hip injury. So I was surprised to find out that he came back so quickly. But, you know, sometimes when they say a player leaves with an injury, it's really just to be evaluated, or they get contused and then they decide that they're able to go back and it's not a big deal. Obviously, watch the practice reports during the week.
Keep an eye on that one in Denver. But again, they are committed to a split. The snap share yesterday was 34 for Javonte Williams, 25 for Melvin Gordon. But again, he missed like a couple of drives.
He was getting checked out. So it feels like it was much more of a split. I've said this from the beginning of the preseason, and I will stick by it. I think Javonte Williams is going to help people win their league. I love this schedule going forward for the Denver Broncos, right? In terms of run defense, right? They're at Kansas City, home to Detroit, home to Cincinnati, at Las Vegas, at the Chargers, Kansas City. I mean, again, Bengals playing good defense, Vegas playing good defense, but those are all teams that I think you can run against. They actually, all those teams, I think, play better pass defense for the most part than they do run defense. So, and given how committed they are to the run, to me, I think, here's what I would say. This week, I will rank, I'm still going to have them very close to each other, but assuming health, I'll have Javonte Williams ranked ahead of Melvin Gordon. So I think they're both still 1A, 1B, but I would argue Williams over Gordon as the 1A to Gordon's 1B.
I feel like I've been talking about this all year. We all have, talking about this all year, and I know that people are like, okay, I know that you love Javonte Williams in Dynasty, but we're talking about redraft. Many people are playing redraft leagues. I still love Javonte Williams in Dynasty, by the way. Stefania, the 49ers have a new entrant into the ring for top running back in their offense. Not really. Elijah Mitchell's still that guy. But Deebo Samuel has been unbelievable. He is the first wide receiver ever with a rushing touchdown in three straight games. He is on fire, except he left the game early yesterday with a groin issue.
I know.
Good job, Deebo.
The former drop. My finger. Listen, the thing that Deebo Samuel did, and obviously, I watched those games like a hawk. And when I saw Debo, he rolled out to the left, was going to run, and he just kind of crumpled to the ground. So everybody kind of noticed that he took a hit, thought he got injured on the hip, but he went down. He looked like he was going to the ground to protect himself from something. And after the game, he said that, in fact, he felt his groin tighten up, and he knew he wanted to take himself out before it got to be anything worse. So he was frustrated by it. But the good news is, and Debo's had a lot of injuries, both in his collegiate career and obviously in his pro career, maybe he's learned something. You know, this was where he knew it was time to come out and not let it get worse. So he did not return for the rest of the game. He's scheduled for an MRI today. But his quote, not too much concern about what it will, you know, what it will yield. So I think that's very encouraging for the 49ers. I do want to share a tweet that Nick Wagner, who covers the team, said about how effective the 49ers are when Debo Samuel lines up at running back, because obviously we're talking about the backfields there. In the past 3 weeks, Samuel's played 25 snaps at running back, 18 carries for 182 yards, which is 10.1 yards per carry, and 4 touchdowns. The Niners average 8.8 yards per play on those snaps. The Cowboys lead the league in yards per play at 6.2. Mm. That's wow. How much better they are when he is lined up at running back.
He's remarkable. The 49ers are red hot right now. And of course, we saw Elijah Mitchell back on the field. Can I say something real quick?
Yes, sir.
I want to give props to where it's due. Adam Schefter, the most plugged in man in football media, obviously, made a call before week one on Fantasy Football Now for his long shot for week one, which was Elijah Mitchell, the 49ers running back, and said, hey, he's my long shot for today. They love this player. Raheem Mostert's the guy, but if something happens to Raheem Mostert, I'm telling you right now, Elijah Mitchell is the guy. And no one, including Shefty, foresaw that Raheem Mostert would get hurt as early as he did in the season. But Elijah Mitchell, after week one, was a major, I mean, he's been the best waiver wire pickup of the year, and he is... in non-PPR leagues especially, he's absolutely incredible. But in PPR leagues, he's wonderful as well, Matthew. Like, this guy's an absolute star.
He's an absolute star. It was a great call by Shefty. You know, selfishly would have loved it, you know, like 2 weeks before for some of my drafts, you know. Like, yeah. You know, like, what are you going to do? But listen, a lot of the beat reporters were like, Trey Sermon's the number two. And to your point, Schefter on the first episode of Fantasy Football Now before a snap of football had been played this year.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that we'd had the Thursday night game, but like, whatever. But like, before a snap of 49ers football had been played this year, said, oh no, Elijah Mitchell, this sixth round rookie, he's going to be a thing this year.
Yeah. When I was at training camp, there was a lot of buzz about Elijah Mitchell.
We didn't hear from you.
No, actually you did, because I talked about him in one of our preview shows, but at the same time, there was a ton of support for Trey Sermon. And you recall, go back to our first couple of weeks, everyone was shocked. Obviously, props to Schefter for being dialed in. Maybe he knew something about Trey Sermon. But that one, nobody saw coming, who was out there, and Trey Sermon was getting a lot of run in practice. The 49ers always liked Elijah Mitchell. We just never saw that he was going to usurp that role. And then Raheem Mostert got hurt and he took it over. And more props to Elijah Mitchell for coming back from a broken finger yesterday and playing remarkably well, despite having extra padding on that finger. You saw him adjusting the glove a couple of times, but he looked great. So I think you can rule out the worries of the finger going forward, because he had no issues handling the ball.
You know, it's interesting to find out. I'm curious, what is greater, the 49ers' love of Elijah Mitchell or the 49ers' hatred of Trey Sermon? Because it appears they do not like him with
a
fiery passion.
Trey Sermon left with an injury yesterday.
I'm never rooting for a player to get injured.
He goes out in special teams and ends up getting hurt.
I think about that. They traded up for this kid, and now he's playing special teams. Yeah. Like he's third on the depth chart. Like, at the time when everyone was injured, they were like, hey, Kyle Juszczyk, can you take some red zone snaps? Because we just don't trust Trey Sermon. One thing that I will say here, field, like, as long as we're talking about props, I'm not hearing from a lot of the people on social media, because you and I, when after that first week when Raheem Mostert gets injured, we're like, I would number one waiver pick, I would spend all my fab budget, I would do whatever I can to get Elijah Mitchell, because they've got a chance that you've got a number one running back. We got so much hate for that call from people saying, like, you're stupid, like, Shanahan changes running back, what about Trey Sermon, he's unproven, he's a sixth round rookie, you're going to waste all your money, this is dumb, you're going to be out of money after 1 week, blah, 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 blah. Well, cut to now, heading into week 13, right?
This is
week 13. At the heading into Monday Night Football on week 13, he's the 18th best running back in fantasy on a points per game basis here.
He's been awesome.
He's ahead of Josh Jacobs. He's ahead of David Montgomery, Antonio Gibson, Miles Gaskin.
He already has 400
He's a shade
yard,
below Aaron Jones.
400-yard rushing games this season, most by a rookie in franchise history.
He's been nothing short of spectacular. And if you spent that fab money, if you listened to us and you didn't listen to these haters, you were well served by that. I haven't heard a lot of people coming back and being like, you know, actually... Anyway,
thanks, guys, for the tips.
Thanks for the heads up.
One more running back backfield split to get into. That's Baltimore. They win last night over the Browns. They are now 8-3. They are atop the AFC entering week 13. Latavius Murray plays 30 snaps last night. 35. Devontae Freeman plays 38. This looked more like the backfield I expected it to look like coming into the season. Devontae Freeman still leads the way in terms of fantasy points with 7. Latavius Murray had just 1.4 fantasy points. They combined for 1 catch last night, Matthew. I think sort of a down day. Like, I still prefer Freeman. I think he's like a top 30-ish, 25-ish running back because there are so few available. But obviously things are a tougher sled for him when both of these guys are healthy and available, as Latavius Murray has not been recently.
Look, it was a weird game. It was a bad game. While you were talking, Lamar Jackson just threw another pick.
Wow, I see.
He was brutal last night. Let's be clear.
We'll talk about him in a second.
But there were a lot of drives that were stalled. It was just kind of a weird game. Browns have a good defense as well.
Do they?
I thought they looked, last night they did.
Yeah, they're okay, right?
I mean, solid defense. Yeah. I mean, like, they shut down Baltimore. I mean, like, whatever. If that was, Baltimore's defense won that game for them, not their offense.
Totally,
their offense is brutal.
And Justin Tucker,
of course. But what I would say is that to the eye test, I just thought Devontae Freeman looked like the better running back.
Like
he had more gas, just a little bit more get up and go, if you will. Just hit the hole faster, I thought.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, like, they gave Latavius Murray like a goal line carry, and it was just like, bleh. Yeah. I mean, it was just like, it looked like me running into the wall. You know, just like, and anyway. So I agree with you that Latavius Murray is a thorn in the fantasy side of Devontae Freeman.
Yeah.
But if I'm starting a Ravens running back next week, it's Devontae Freeman.
I'm just laughing that we're having this discussion about Devontae Freeman and Latavius Murray as the starting.
It's weird stuff. It's weird.
It's weird. So
week 12 weirdness.
Cordarrelle Patterson has 2 touchdowns. Tavon Austin scored. It's
Austin Walter.
Austin
Walter.
Yeah.
No one. Right. No one even knows that name for the Jets.
But we all these old guys. I mean, I'm just saying, like,
Throwback.
Leonard Fournette has 4 touchdowns. It's 2015 all over again.
Let's come back just a second to discuss some of the players that were unavailable in week 11, either due to bye or because of injury or otherwise, that were available in week 12 and how they performed. But before we do that, no matter what the sport, professional leagues go through a rigorous process to select the best athletes for their teams. What if you had the tools to put that type of rigor into your hiring process? Well, you've got them when you use ZipRecruiter, and right now you can try it for how much? For free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. So how does ZipRecruiter scout the best and brightest for your team? Its matching technology scans resumes across its networks of millions of job seekers to find qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. Then you can easily review recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them to apply faster. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
College football fans, after an off season that felt a little more off than usual, Fansville and Dr. Pepper invite you to celebrate because college football is back. So are the fans. Yes, it's the most wonderful time of the year again. The season of Saturdays, when rivalries run deep and nacho cheese dip runs even deeper. So crack open an ice cold Dr. Pepper, warm up your cornhole tossing arm, and return to glory with an all new season of Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve.
All righty, let's dive into some players that we did not see in week 11, but we did see in week 12. And we start with Lamar Jackson. And he returned from illness, which kept him out of the game a week before against the Chicago Bears. Matthew mentioned he was bad last night. 165 passing yards, a touchdown, 4 interceptions, 68 rushing yards, managed to salvage his night a tiny bit. He's good for 9.4 fantasy points. And while I don't think anybody foresaw four interceptions from Lamar, we did, Stefania, understand the risk involved for quarterbacks who have not been nearly as effective coming off of illness as throwers.
Yeah, we talked about this on Fantasy Football Now, and I wasn't really sure what to expect given that Lamar has been sort of an outlier as a quarterback. We did have one previous game where he returned from illness, and this is the graphic we used yesterday. If you look at the general data, and you have to look at 10 years worth to have any meaningful numbers because most players miss only one game due to illness. But after an absence due to illness, the passing yards typically drop in a quarterback's performance. They go down 3 to 5% in yards thrown, and their fantasy points typically drop in the neighborhood of 16 to 18%. When Lamar came back from an illness absence back in 2020, he missed a game due to COVID. He had the second fewest passing yards of the season and his fewest pass attempts of the season, but he salvaged the day and he had a decent fantasy day back in 2020 with his rushing yards. Now, this year, we've talked about Lamar Jackson not only missing this game from illness, but being ill multiple times. And so we sort of wondered if it would be a different day for him. Number one, he looked very ill even last Sunday when he got ruled out, and it was sort of back and forth, as you may recall, kind of yo-yoed on the injury report. Mm-hmm. But he really didn't look great. Now, when he ran, he seemed to run pretty well. But if you just look at his pure numbers, he had a 60% drop in his fantasy points per game. He has averaged 23.5 fantasy points per game from weeks 1 to 11 this year. Obviously went down to 9.4. He had a 39% drop in his passing yards from an average of 272 to 165 last night. And then a 4% drop in his rushing yards. And it was interesting to me that after the game in his post-game interview, he said, you know, he felt kind of weak on his passes. I mean, just threw it out there. He was angry, which he would be as a competitor. But he said, he goes, I don't know, my passes felt a little weak. And he underthrew some players. Maybe that contributed to the interception. So just makes you wonder how much of a factor that was. If there's any silver lining, the data also shows that that drop typically only lasts for one game.
So this is an interesting one because it's not just that he came off of the illness. It's that the week before he missed a game due to illness, he was bad against Miami. He was really bad. So he's got back-to-back clunkers for fantasy, Matthew, which means that if you have Lamar Jackson as your starting quarterback for three straight weeks, you've either had to fill in for him or you've been let down, right? Because you didn't, I mean, not let down, not like it's his fault that he got sick, but like in week 11, you had to find a way to fill in for him. And that was obviously a late pivot as well. We didn't know whether he was going to play until 90 minutes before the game. And you may not have gotten the type of production you normally expect out of Lamar Jackson. So my instinct is always with Lamar to just expect things to turn back around and the ship to get back in the right direction, probably sooner rather than later. Do we think there's any chance whatsoever, that Miami didn't crack the code, so to speak, but at least gave defenses a reasonable facsimile of the best way to prevent Lamar Jackson from going off for like 350 total yards and three total touchdowns?
Potentially. They play at Pittsburgh this week. Mm-hmm. And I know Pittsburgh just got, you know, boat raced by Cincinnati, but maybe the Steelers get Joe Hayden back this week as well. And feels unlikely to me that the Steelers defensively get embarrassed 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Well, here's the best way.
Especially against the Ravens, which is always such
weeks in a row for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, right? Good point. They let the Lions tie them, right?
Yeah. That would be 4 weeks if you want to include them.
If you allow the Lions, right? That's what I'm saying.
But here's the best way I think of describing.
But their defense is getting healthier, and I always feel like Steelers-Ravens is also one of those
throw out the records.
Records, yeah. You know, blah, right? I mean, it does. That game always feels like that. So I would be concerned. I have Lamar Jackson in a couple leagues, and I'm concerned. The leagues that I have Lamar Jackson in, like I'm in Fishbowl, I'm in a 14-team league that I play with a bunch of people here in the Bristol Benchwarmers. Like, so a couple leagues that I have him in, it's just like it's too deep that there's nothing I'm going to be able to do.
Sure.
But if I was in a 10-team, one quarterback league, is Lamar Jackson still a set it and forget it? Don't even consider who else might be out there on the waiver wire starter for you?
I think so. Absent like a really unique circumstance where you're like, hey, Carson Wentz against the Texans this upcoming weekend. He's been better recently. The Texans are obviously such a, you know, they're a limited team in terms of overall personnel. But like, even then, I'd still probably start Lamar Jackson against Pittsburgh over Carson Wentz. But I think part of the issue here too, Matthew, is that Like, Lamar's far from the only quarterback who's doing this right now. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
And I am like the least favorite fan of some, like, who's the MVP after week six and who's the MVP after week seven and eight and nine.
Right.
But right now, just for the purposes of this conversation, who's the NFL MVP? In your opinion, Stefania, Daniel, feel free to chime in when you have an answer. Like, if you feel strongly about it, go ahead and chime in.
Boy, that's a...
I don't think there's one that stands out to me.
I feel like it's rotated.
Part of the reason why is that all of these quarterbacks, it's a quarterback award, let's be honest. It's very rare when it's not a quarterback. It happens once every 20 years, right? Should be Jonathan Taylor.
It could be, whatever, but still,
they're 6-6, right? You can't give a running back on a 6-6 team, right? But it's like go through quarterbacks like Tom Brady. We talked about him. He struggled. Patrick Mahomes recently. He has struggled. Josh Allen's been pretty good. Jalen Hurts yesterday. What happened to him, right? Like, all these quarterbacks have gone through it at some point this year. Kyle may be able to answer this. If Dallas had won
on Thanksgiving, I might say Dak. But right.
Totally, yeah. Kyler probably has been.
I'll tell you know who the MVP of the NFL is right now?
Who you got?
Bill Belichick.
Jeez. I mean, ridiculous.
Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Hey, Kyle, can you figure out, is there any quarterback that has scored at least 10 fantasy points in all of his team's games this year? So, like, if he's missed six games, but played six and scored 10, like, I'm excluding that kind of guy. But, like, I wonder if any quarterback that's played every game for his team and scored at least 10 fantasy points.
I think Brady has scored at least 10.
Maybe he had 11.2,
But if it's just 10, who might be the MVP of the NFL this year?
Tom Brady?
No. Derrick Henry. Because look at what the Titans are without Derrick Henry.
I know, but they had 270 rushing yards yesterday, it's crazy. Yeah. The point is, the reason I asked the question is just to illustrate that, like, Lamar Jackson is far from alone in his quarterback struggles this year. Let's keep things moving, though. He did have his top wide receiver back last night, Hollywood Brown, who, listen, 8 catches, 51 yards. Like, you'll take that. I know there's no touchdown there, but 8 for 51, not as much down the field, but it was a wacky, weird game last night for the Baltimore Ravens. Kareem Hunt, though, was interesting. Let me ask you this, Stefania. Kareem Hunt last night, by the eye test, did he look like he was a player that was back to 100%?
I felt like it was kind of hard to judge, you know? And they were on the field. I was looking at this. Chubb, 28 snaps. Hunt, 22. I think they kind of played them and shared them in the running back role the way that Kevin Stefanski had indicated they would. Although, who knows what at the end of the game, we already talked about D'Ernest Johnson being out there as well. So it's hard to judge it off one game because now you have D'Ernest Johnson really in the mix, as well as maybe them being a little more conservative with Kareem Hunt in his first game back. But he emerged from the game, no worse for the wear. I thought he looked fine in a game where Cleveland wasn't playing very well. So kind of hard to judge, but I didn't see anything there that had me concerned.
Yeah, me too. I just think this Cleveland offense is just sort of a mess right now. They need games in which they can follow their game script. And, oh, by the way, if you look at Cleveland's upcoming schedule, they're on a bye this week. Baltimore, Las Vegas, Green Bay. I'm not sure any of those games can be played on Cleveland's preferred schedule, which is run the football a ton, ground and pound you to death, and win a game in which they're more physical than you are. So I'm a little concerned about this Cleveland offense going forward. By the way, just to put a pin on this, this quarterback conversation, we have at least one example of a quarterback that has at least 10 fantasy points in every game. It's Justin Herbert. But what's been the story of Justin Herbert this year? Up 1 week, down the following week, 13.38, 14.72, 30.84, 21.28, 42.82, 11.0, 13.82, 31.64, 12.0.
Yeah.
Kyle, you have more context on this. What can you tell me?
There's four of them that have gotten to 10 points in every game, but nobody's gotten to 15 in every game. Brady is the Vegas favorite for what it's worth right now.
Okay, Vegas favorite is Tom Brady. He, Kirk Cousins, have also played in every game. They have made at least 10. They've got at least 10 fantasy points. But here's the point. 10 points is not a big threshold for a quarterback to clear. That's not hard at all. It's a touchdown at 150 yards, right? Like, that should not be that difficult to achieve, and yet it has been this season. Let's move forward here, Matthew, because
I just want to note that one of the reasons why I don't think we mentioned this when we were discussing Miles Sanders, but I just think this is important. Apparently, he tweaked his ankle and we didn't see him. One of the reasons why I thought it was ineffectiveness, but apparently one of the reasons we saw Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell at the end of the game was because Sanders tweaked his ankle. So we'll monitor that situation, obviously, but Boston Scott would become a lot more important on the waiver wire if Sanders were to miss some time.
Let's go to the Green Bay and Los Angeles game. The Rams have now lost three straight games. They lose yet again yesterday. This game was played in Green Bay. And I think that the numbers might tell you that like things are a little bit better offensively from Green Bay than they actually for Los Angeles than they actually were. But OBJ, he had a day, Matthew. 5 catches, 81 yards and a touchdown and 10 targets. And when I say he had a day, I don't mean like he had an incredible day. I just mean he had an interesting day, right? Felt like things were out of sorts early. And then he has the long touchdown pass. Do you feel more confident about OBJ coming out of this game today? Like 5 catches, 10 targets, those are two numbers you can live with. They're good, right? But still feels like, for some reason, I felt like some of this stuff would come easier for the Rams offense with OBJ. Am I wrong in saying that?
I think so, just because, listen, Stafford didn't play well yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. And when Stefania talked about this on Fantasy Football Now Sunday morning, Stafford not 100% healthy. He's banged up. Packers have played pretty good defense this year as well. So give some credit to Green Bay. You know, that was an impressive win and an important win for the Packers yesterday. But, yeah, I mean, I think that 10 targets on, you know, 5 for 81, 10 targets, like, that's about as good a game as we've seen from Odell Beckham in the last couple of years.
Yeah. No, we'll take it.
Like, you absolutely will take it. And then you look at their upcoming schedule, Jacksonville at Arizona, home to Seattle at Minnesota. Arizona's a really good defense, but the rest of them don't scare you. And Arizona, you would expect that to be a fairly high-scoring game, assuming Kyler and DeAndre Hopkins are back for right. that one. Yeah. So yes, I think I don't have Odell Beckham Jr. on any teams this year, but if I did, I would be very happy because you've suffered through a lot. You've slogged through a bunch and like in terms of, you know, going from Cleveland saying, hey, Odell, stay at home. Like we're better off with you at home to then he doesn't have a job to then him putting up 17 fantasy points. I hear you on, but I would be encouraged. I feel much better about Odell Beckham Jr.'s prospects for the rest of the year after yesterday than I have at any other point in the season.
I think next week will be a big tell for me as well against Jacksonville, a game in which they should smother them. I want to see that passing offense look like I believe it's capable of looking.
Yeah, but I think that's more a Stafford thing than it is a OBJ thing.
Could be. Let's do a couple minutes on Monday Night Football here because, of course, that game is tonight. Matthew's Washington football team hosting the Seattle Seahawks. Before we talk about some of the players involved in this game, Stefania, a couple of injury updates here. Who will be playing tight end for the Washington football team tonight?
Well, it sounds like it's going to be Logan Thomas.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, baby.
He's been gone for a long time with a hamstring injury. And you recall there was some talk about him getting back into practice a couple of weeks ago. But when he tried running, his hamstring really wasn't ready for that. So he did not get involved in practice until this week, but he has looked good, and the team has been encouraged by how he's looked, and it sounds like they plan on having him tonight.
And how about Curtis Samuel?
Ricky Seals-Jones is listed as doubtful. Yeah. So it would be John Bates if Thomas can't go. But I agree with Stefania. The expectation is Logan Thomas plays tonight.
Stefania, how about Curtis Samuel, who's been out for a long time, he's barely played this year?
I know, a groin injury that he had surgery on back in June. I said this yesterday on Fantasy Football Now, but if you want to get the details, check out John Keim's piece on it. He got some great information on Curtis Samuel, sort of the back and forth with the injury. And then it took a turn for the worse again recently, and they've been very slow to bring him back. Ron Rivera even said that they used him too much, and the first time that they had him back just because of other injuries, they kind of leaned on him too heavily, and that was part of the setback issue for him. It sounds like he will play tonight, but he will be on a very, very strict snap count. They're not going to let this happen again. Maybe 15 snaps. That even sounds like potentially too much. I would not be using him in fantasy. You definitely want to see how he looks on the field.
Yeah, first. Hopefully you pivoted before this and you're not left seeing like, all I have is Curtis Samuel. That's a problem, obviously. Not.
Honestly, and if you had and you're sitting there going, all I have is Curtis Samuel, I would prefer DeAndre Carter. I mean, there are other guys on Washington that I think have a better shot at getting you fantasy points tonight than Curtis Samuel.
Important night tonight for Russell Wilson, Matthew. He's been in a slump recently. If you go back, back-to-back games have been bad, no touchdowns. If you go to the game before when he got hurt against the Rams, I believe, and I know he got hurt, so it's unfair to judge that was only a partial game. But in that game, he had a tough start to the game as well. I think he had finished with like 10 fantasy points. Maybe I'm being too critical there. But the point is, these past two games have not been good. Does he get back on track tonight against your defense?
I don't think so.
Interesting.
I'm nervous about it. Washington's defense has played better recently. Mm-hmm. Russ has not looked good. By the way, if you think about Russ's career overall, this is something we've seen before where he starts out red hot, where he's like the greatest quarterback in fantasy and then falls off. And he's still good. He's still, you know, he's still obviously, right. He's still Russell Wilson. But like, I feel like last year through the first 8 weeks, he was like the second best quarterback in fantasy. And then he was probably like eighth or 10th over the second half of last year, something like that. He definitely fell off. And so my expectation here is that Russell Wilson, who certainly doesn't look right, that offense looks a little bit broken, and they're not playing with, you know, any kind of pace until they have to. And so look, every time I get my hopes up about Washington, then they dash them. So I want to temper my expectations here, but I'm cautiously optimistic that Monday Night Football at home in an important game for them, that the defense shows up in a big way. And I don't think Russell Wilson has a monster game against Washington.
Let's just say this game then, Field. Let's pick it. You want to pick it?
Pick it? Yeah, I'll pick it. Why not?
What is the line? I actually don't even know what the line is. I think Washington might be favored.
I'll take the football team.
You can take the football team over Washington?
Yeah.
Or over Seattle? Yeah. Matthew?
I'm taking the football team, yeah.
Stefania?
I'll be different. I'm going to go for Seattle. Yeah, they got to do. They got to turn it around somehow.
Yeah.
The Riverboat Rons.
I'm going to take Seattle.
Okay.
Wow.
Matthew and I, by the way, very, very smart, because what we did, we said the football team, like we didn't specify which one. So like we technically are going to win. No, we said the football team. We
just
said
the football team.
A football team. Anyway, it's big brain stuff
wins,
here.
I think Washington wins this game.
Even right now.
But, interesting.
I don't know. East Coast team traveling west.
It's a pick 'em.
West Coast team traveling east.
That's right. It's in Washington because we're talking about how you should go.
Team on a short week, traveling east on a short week is always a setup for failure.
It's a long week, but you know, whatever.
It was a long week.
Oh, good. Anyways, all right, we're back tomorrow. And a reminder.
By the way, it's Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
Cyber Monday, promo code 06010 gets you 10% off rotopass.com, which allows you to access ESPN Plus for 12 months.
That's amazing.
You can watch Man in the Arena. You can watch The Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry. You can read your column. You can read my column. You can read everyone's columns. You can read Todd and Mel and everything else that ESPN offers. 06010 gets you 10% off for ESPN Plus and five other great sites at rotopass.com.
Fantasy football now, 10 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday morning on the ESPN app, YouTube, Twitter, ESPN Fantasy Facebook page. We'll tell you more about it throughout the week. For Matthew and Stefania and Daniel, I am Field. Good luck tonight.
Peace out.
Go on.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us. Advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bear.